wish to greet each one in Jesus' name this morning. Count it a privilege to be able to look into the Word and be inspired today. As far as the message for this morning, I'd like to take a text verse from 1 Peter 2. We've already been to the book of Peter this morning, and I had read this in my personal devotions a number of weeks ago and kept coming back to this verse and coming back to this verse. And I was probably halfway through my study when I realized that this thought comes up in Romans chapter 9 that we're going to be studying this morning. But then I realized that it was in next Sunday's lesson that this Sunday's lesson stopped just short of these verses. But Brother Leo couldn't seem to let it alone, and he went on and brought out the verses anyway. But he didn't really talk about the thought that I wanted to talk about. And I would like to think about the rock of Jesus being the rock today. But I don't want to zero in so much on the rock so much as what happened to it and us identifying with that today. I thought about the illustration of all of us, well, most of us played games when we were young. And probably some of you children can identify with this even right now, but remember the trepidation when, okay, it's announced that we're going to have two captains and they start picking teams and choosing individuals from both sides. Everybody wants to be first, right? No one wants to be the last one that's picked. That feeling of rejection, I don't know. There were some games I got picked pretty close to the beginning for. Depending on your abilities, there are other games that it went a little longer and you hoped it wouldn't take too long till you were picked. Or did you ever have the feeling of looking around after church, you went somewhere, and all of a sudden you realize, I don't see anybody in my family here. So you start running around looking. Well, I don't think anybody's here. And after a while you realize, you know what, you were left behind. That's not a very good feeling. That feeling of being rejected. Why am I bringing this up? 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4 says this. I'm going to read the whole chapter later on. To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. And I'd like to just look at the last half of that verse, mostly this morning. Being disallowed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Nothing will compare to the pain of not being chosen by God. And this morning we talked about predestination and how does this all work. I don't know exactly how it all works, but I do know that if we are not chosen by God, that's going to be the most total, complete rejection that we'll ever feel. In life, we're all going to feel some rejection. And as we begin into life, you know, we want to please, we want to be accepted, we want to fit in somewhere, but you don't go real long in life till you realize you can't please everyone. You're going to disappoint someone. You're going to be rejected by someone. And we've got to decide who we're going to be rejected by. In here, he uses the word disallowed. It's not a word that we use very often anymore, but it basically means to disapprove. It's also been, the Greek word was translated reject as well in some other places in the New Testament. Also, the Strong's Concordance gave the word repudiate, which simply means refuse to have anything to do with, to refuse to accept, or to reject as untrue. What that means. And this verse is saying that we're coming to Christ, a living stone, but it's been rejected, been refused, been called untrue by men. Some of us, though there's some people buy new clothing all the time, there's other ones of us that go to discount stores sometimes, and you look inside the clothing and there's a stamp on some of that stuff that says irregular. And you look at it and it looks fine, but there's something about it that makes it wrong, that said it's not good enough to be used, not good enough to be sold in a good store. Good clothing store. And, you know, it's second rate. And that's what that's what people like to do with Jesus today. They're not saying he's not a good man. Yeah, he's a good teacher, if people say that. But that's as far as they'll take it. If you want to look to him, he has some good ideas, but that's not what life's all about. That's what people want to teach. And that is rejection as well, not being chosen. I like to just go back and trace the story of this stone a little bit that's been rejected. It's brought up a number of times in the Old Testament, and I hadn't thought about it till I was sitting up here that probably the first time this stone was mentioned was in the wilderness when Moses smote the rock and later on was supposed to speak to it, and he smote it again, that rock that was to bring forth water, and that was referring, God gave it as a type of Christ. And that's probably the first time this rock Christ was, that Christ was shown as a rock. But turn to Psalm 118. Here's a prophecy that was referred to again a couple times in the New Testament. And we'll look at those verses. Psalm 118, verse 19 through 24. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go in, I will go into them, and I will praise the Lord. This gate of the Lord into which the righteous shall enter. And I think he's referring to Jesus already here. I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me, and art become my salvation. The stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is a day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And this is one of the first promises of a stone that was coming, something to build upon, something that was going to be rejected. And I'm sure there were godly men that puzzled over this verse and wondered what it meant, pondered over it. And what does this mean that there's a stone that's going to be rejected and yet it's going to become the head of the corner? But this is referring to Jesus. Turn to Isaiah chapter 28, another verse that talks about this stone. Isaiah chapter 28 and verse 16. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. He's talking here about this promise that was coming, a promise of something secure to build our salvation on. Another prophecy of a stone was in Daniel chapter 2, and I don't think I'll read the story, but you can turn there. Daniel chapter 2 is the story of probably the most, when you think of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, this is the story you think of. Not going to read the story about how they were thrown in the furnace, but if you go back into his dream, verse 31, thou, O king, sawest, and behold, a great image. This great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. The image head was of fine gold, his breast and his arms of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass, his legs of iron, his feet part of iron and part of clay. Thou sawest till that a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and brake them to pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together, and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors. And the wind carried them away, and no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. And then he goes on, talks about the interpretation. And you'll remember that it didn't go very long about this. The king completely missed the point. He went and built an image. And God showed him exactly what was going to happen. His son came and stood in the fire with the men that rejected the image. And the image came down. The king said, you need to worship this God of the Hebrews. But here he's talking about how this stone is going to come and break up all the kingdoms, and the kingdoms are going to pass away, and not even be thought of, not even a place going to be found for them. And the honor and the glory is going to go to this stone that's going to grow and fill the whole earth, and which is what we're seeing today, that stone continuing to grow. Another time, if you turn over to Matthew chapter 21, moving into the New Testament now, looking where these prophecies are brought back up again. Matthew chapter 21, verse 42. And this again was where the religious leaders were rejecting him, were acting like he was nothing. And he was telling them different parables to help them get the point. And then he says, Jesus said unto them, verse 42, did ye never read in the scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation, bringing forth the fruits thereof, and whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. And when the chief priests and Pharisees heard these parables, they perceived that he spake of them. But when they sought to lay hands on him, they feared the multitude, because they took him for a prophet. Here he's talking about Jesus made mention of this stone, and he said, this was me. But that's basically what he was saying. Didn't you ever read that this stone is going to be rejected? And he's saying, I am the one that was rejected. Turn over to Acts chapter 4. In verse 7, this is right after Peter and John had healed the man in the temple. He went leaping and praising God and went on his way. And the Pharisees called him into account for it. They brought him before the Sanhedrin. Verse 7. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deeds done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Here Peter identified the stone that he was following being Jesus Christ, and also identified who the people were that were rejecting it. And Peter himself had rejected it. Jesus referred to Peter as the rock he was going to build the church on, being part of that. And Peter later on let him down. I think maybe that's why, one of the reasons Peter brought this up. And again, later on, and we'll read those verses here in a minute, in 1 Peter chapter 2, where he talks about the stone. Because Jesus specifically told him about how he was to promote this stone, to be that rock and build upon it. We already read the verses in Romans chapter 9 that mention the stone. I think we'll just read the verses in Ephesians chapter 2 yet that talk about this rock, about this building. Ephesians 2 and verse 14. For he is our peace, who hath both made one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. This is what Brother Leo was talking about this morning in the Sunday school, about how of the law of the Jews and also of the Gentiles, they're two coming together in one new man under the New Testament covenant. So I was going to read down to verse 22. And came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, and of the household of God. He's talking about the Gentiles. You're no more out there. You are a part of us. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. And here he takes us a little bit farther, and he says, the stone that we're building upon, and all of us as we're built upon this stone, we become the habitation of God. We become the place where God dwells. And I don't understand all that either. That's kind of like eternity. It's kind of like predestination. That's another concept that stretches my mind, that goes beyond, that we can be the habitation of God. That's hard to understand. Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 2 yet. Verse 1, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile, and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. And I'll just stop reading there. And I suppose this, in most detail, explains the story of this rock that was rejected by man and was accepted by God. I like just to think a little bit about the rejection that Jesus had. And we could spend all day going down through the four Gospels and pulling out all the different stories where Jesus was rejected. Starting at his birth, Herod tried to kill him. I mean, just as a baby. He was hostile from the beginning. Satan wanted to get rid of this stone before it could accomplish anything. And even in his early years, when he was just Joseph's son. When he came back later on to preach, they said, "Isn't this Joseph's son?" I mean, and Jesus said, "Well, no prophet's accepted in his own country." And even on through his life, every time he tried to accomplish the will of the Father, I thought of different times when he tried to teach them that that the new covenant was going to go beyond the old covenant, and that it was more important to heal on the Sabbath. And they immediately tried to call it work and say, "You shouldn't work on the Sabbath." Jesus said, "No, I'm healing. It's right. It's never wrong to do right on the Lord's day." he was rejected of men. They tried to call his good things evil, his good works evil. And even his own special disciples, his chosen 12 that he had, there was one that betrayed him. And then all of them left him down, the rejection that Jesus had. Even the Father turned his face away because he knew it's what had to happen to have mankind redeemed. But the most important detail of the whole story, you can flip over to 2 Peter chapter 1. He says it real well here. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. The most important detail of this whole story is in these two verses. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. It's most important who accepts us, not who rejects us. The most important is that we have the acceptance of the Father. And we can be affected a lot by peer pressure, especially as a youth. You know, you want to fit in with your friends. But as you get older, we still constantly compare ourselves with other people. The most important thing is that we compare ourselves with God. Do we have to identify with this stone? In Matthew chapter 5, right after the Beatitudes, well, part of them, number 10, verse 10. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Do we have to identify with this stone? If we identify with the stone, we're also going to have to identify with the rejection of mankind. John chapter 15, a couple of verses over here that talk about the rejection that we face as we choose Christ. John verse 18, if the world hates you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin, but now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not sinned. But now they have both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this is come to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. Is it okay to be rejected? Is it okay to be disallowed indeed of men? I happen to know some of you well enough that I know there's some people that don't like some of you. I'm not going to say any names. But I know there's individuals here that have promoted the gospel, promoted what Jesus has promoted, and there are people that don't like you because of it. Because no one likes to be told that divorce and remarriage is wrong. No one likes to be told that if you get caught up in what the world has to offer, sports and those kind of things, and make that your God, that you're not laying up treasure in heaven and you're going to miss it. People don't like to hear that message. But that's the message that we have to share. Is it okay to not be wanted, to not meet other people's approval? But that depends on a few things. And if you go over to, I think it's 2 Peter 4. It's 1 Peter 4. There is no 2 Peter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. He explains here what when it's okay and when it's not okay to be rejected of people. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing, as unto a faithful Creator. And here he says, yes, there's going to be conflict. Just depends on why there's conflict. If there's conflict in our lives with other people because we're being selfish, because we're doing wrong, because we're being a busybody or something like that, he says it's wrong. You shouldn't be suffering. But if you are suffering because you're identifying with Christ, you're trying to identify with truth, that's okay. It's the right thing to have happen. He says, because judgment is coming. And it's not going to stop. Remember a couple of years ago when Brother Vernon was here for our revivals. He talked about needing to stop and examine the foundation on which we stand. And he talked about how scary that can be. When you need each one of us, okay, so we're raised, our parents teach us from our youth. And hopefully our parents teach us right. If you say you must obey your parents no matter what, then that means the Muslim needs to too. Everybody the world over, whether you grow up in a Christian home or whether we grow up in any other home, we have to take the word of God, we have to look at it, and we have to align ourselves with Christ and what is right and accept his acceptance and rejection by anybody else, no matter who it is. And that's what's hard. That also means that my children need to do the same thing. You know, but I want them to. I want my children to do the same thing because I could be wrong. I'm human. I could make mistakes. I do make mistakes. It can be a scary thing to stop and evaluate our foundation and what we stand on, because I might have to change something I stood on for a long time. I might have to change that. I might have to eat some words. But if we are building on the Word of God, we don't need to be ashamed. We will meet God's approval. If we meet God's approval, what does it matter what other people think? And that's why I want to lift up the Bible this morning. Lift up the Word of God, and we need to know why we believe what we believe. We need to know where to find the references, where to find the answer. And as the verse says up here, we need to be ready to give an answer. What are we supposed to do if the heat gets turned up? What should we do if we do find ourselves in hot water? Peter also addressed this. In these verses here, he says, see, which verse did I start with? He says, I did read verse 12. In these verses, he says, identify the issues that you're suffering for and make sure you're suffering for the right reason. Don't be suffering because you're doing something wrong. That's what he says, first of all. Look at what's making the conflict in your life. Second thing he says here, he says, you go ahead and rejoice if it's identifying you with Christ. If it's lifting up the name of Christ, rejoice in it. Be happy about it. Find joy in it. The third thing that he brings out here is remember that life is not the destination. This life is not the destination. We're passing through this life. There's a time coming. And the fourth thing he tells us to do is just leave it in God's hands. Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing, as unto a faithful creator. Let it in God's hands. You see, rejection and acceptance, they go hand in hand. We're always going to face both. And it's up to us to decide who we want to be disallowed by. Do we want to be disallowed indeed of men and chosen of God? Or do we want to be rejected of God and chosen of men? Matthew Henry's made this comment on those, I think it was on verse 6 in 1 Peter 2. God can never be mistaken in his choice. Therefore, he that chooses Christ for his portion shall never be confounded. God can never be mistaken in his choice. If God chose Christ, then all of us who choose Christ, we won't be confused. We won't be wrong. Turn over to Revelation chapter 17 yet. I'd like to read this verse in closing. Revelation 17 and verse 14. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. He's talking about these beasts and these people that follow them. I don't know who all that's going to be, but it's definitely being run by the devil. They're going to make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And this is the part I wanted you to notice. And they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. We are called and chosen and faithful. Let's make sure that we have God's approval in our lives. Let's kneel for prayer. Father in heaven, we pause before you. At the end of the service, Lord, and we thank you that you are a great God, that you are omniscient and all-knowing and all-powerful. And you know about us this morning. You know that we're here. And you know that we have gathered in Jesus' name. And we know that you are willing to accept us because of his sacrifice. And this morning, Lord, we don't want to reject this rock. We don't want to disapprove of it in any way because it doesn't fit into our lives. But Lord, we pray that you'd help us to allow ourselves to be fitted upon it. You would help us to allow ourselves to be molded and chipped away at and placed upon this rock, that we could be a living stone just as this rock is, that we could grow and make up, be a part of your building, that you could come and dwell here among us and with us. Lord, we thank you that you have allowed us to be accepted in, grafted in, into the vine, that even though we are Gentiles, you have extended the day of salvation to all men, that whosoever will may come and enter in if we believe in your Son. So we thank you again for the clarity of your word. And Lord, we thank you that you have also placed mysteries in the Word that we can always seek after and continually draws our attention to you. Father, this morning I pray that you would show us where we are selfish, where we are following our own will, where we are being rejected or ridiculed of men, and we should be ashamed of it. And Lord, I pray also that you would help us to be willing to be rejected of men because we have chosen you. Help us, Lord, not to allow our flesh to become weak and control our lives. Father, we just pray a special blessing upon our brothers and sisters in Bangladesh this morning as we think ahead to the week that is coming and the travels that will be made by some some of the brethren here. We pray that you would bless them on their journeys. Please prosper their way. Please keep them safe. Please help them to be able to exhort the brethren over there and encourage them. Help them to spread the light wherever they go. We pray especially for the meetings they plan to have with the Animus people. We pray that you would show them your light. Father, we also pray for their families at home in the time while they will be missed. We pray that you would keep them safe and in your care. We pray that you would fill all their needs. Father, go with us now and make us a blessing on this Lord's Day. In Jesus' name, amen.